And welcome to the React Show, brought to you from occupied Miwok territory by me, your host Thomas, in a bright, chilly morning, episode 75. In the first programming job I ever had, it paid terrible. But one time, the CEO was so happy with me and my coworker, he flew us to the company headquarters in the CEO's own personal jet. I was in college at the time. The story of my first programming job, where we did web application development with IE6 when Ajax was becoming cool. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, so I've got a fun story to recount today, and I figure let's just get into it. So I started my first programming job in college, but I actually started programming in middle school when I sort of taught myself HTML and started making websites and stuff, right? And, you know, I learned a lot after that, Java, a bunch of other languages, I think Perl, and I don't know. I taught myself a lot, but I didn't actually get paid to do programming for maybe 5 years until I was in college. So my freshman year in college, I got this programming job, but the way I got it was actually, I think it was my first computer science course in my, first semester, first year, sort of intro to programming, basically, right? And I was obviously already pretty experienced at this point with programming since I'd been doing it for 5 years, but a lot of people in that class weren't. They were sort of oh yeah, I played video games and I like video games. And so I thought, I'd try some programming, right? And so it was very boring because it was very basic. And so I would sit at the back of this large lecture hall, and just do my own programming. I didn't really pay attention. And I ended up, back there with another person. And I noticed they were kind of in the same boat. I just happened to see their programming something. Oh yeah, it looks really cool. What's that? And it was, it was a media player, right? And I was like, wow, that's really cool. You made this. And they wrote it in Java. And I was like, wow, this person seems like they actually know how to program. This is so exciting. It was honestly, I had a friend that I sort of programmed with in high school, but this was the first time that, and that friend we kind of learned together and taught ourselves together, but this is the first time I'd ever met anyone that was seemed actually good at programming. And I just, met them sort of independently. So I was really excited. And we began just hanging out together and mostly programming. So I started working on the media player with them, or we started a new version or something. It was a really cool media player, but hey, that's another story. So we started working on this media player, but then I forget if he was already working for this company or what, but anyways, this company was hey, they asked me, hey, do you want to, do some programming for us, right? And I was so excited. It's not so ridiculous to say now, but I was so excited because they were offering me $10 an hour, $10 an hour, right? And at the time, I was like, wow, this is fantastic. I get to do something I really love doing, programming. And it's at $10 an hour, which it seemed like a lot. Yeah, so it was for a startup based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called ExactShip. They've long since gone out of business. But yeah, so sort of via my friend, I got this opportunity. And that was a lot of fun. It was fun to work on it with my friend and stuff. But the company, of course, was, like most companies, a little bit strange in some ways. And they were really focused on building these on-premise computers for shipping centers. So you put this computer at the end of some assembly line with a bunch of packages coming through, and you weigh the box and set the dimensions and it prints out a label. And so this company had written software to, integrate with all the carriers and get rates and allow you to rate shop and print labels. Pretty basic stuff, but they were really into selling these boxes that were on-premise, to enterprises, and didn't seem like they really sold many. But that's not actually what they hired us for. They were wanting us to build sort of a web interface to this system. And at the time, this was not near as common as today. It's not like it was unheard of. But this, you know, is when we said Ajax and, you know, you'd be like, oh, what do you do? I do Ajax, you know? And IE6 was like the user base that we had, the most common browser they used was IE6. And so they hired us to make basically a web front end for this system so that people using Salesforce, it was like a Salesforce plugin or something, all web app, right? So they could like rate shop and print labels from their, you know, computer printer, whatever, you know, via Salesforce. So it was not on-premise. It was all web app based. We had a server, you know, standard SaaS stuff. At the time, this wasn't, again, unheard of, but definitely not near as common as today, right? So yeah, that was sort of the background of what this was, what they hired us to do. But yeah, it was really funny, like thinking back on this story, because it was really so primitive. Like there were basically no dev tools. So you had to find other ways to develop. All we really had was this Firefox extension called Firebug. So if you installed this extension into Firefox, it would let you do some primitive like JavaScript debugging and inspecting the page and looking at your CSS styles and, you know, nothing at all like we have available today in browsers, but it was more than nothing. And it even had like a sort of lightweight version that you could include on a web page for IE6, which was absolutely invaluable. But it mostly just worked in Firefox. And if you know anything about IE6, the reason why I keep laughing whenever I say it is because it was a horrible, horrible, horrible browser. It just had endless quirks and weird crap that just, it was, anybody that's worked with it, you know, hated it, right? And it just sort of lived forever. Microsoft didn't ever seem to invest in it at all. It was just a piece of crap. And we had Firefox, which was way, way better, and it sort of followed web standards way better than IE, and, you know. But if you debug something in Firefox, that doesn't mean it works right in IE. And so, yeah, our code was just filled with all sorts of special cases for IE, and, you know, that's just the way it was back then. We used jQuery and things like that to smooth things along, but it was a very different time. You had to just sort of be really creative in how you debug stuff. Like, you know, throwing alerts. We used alerts all the time, like browser alerts to debug stuff. Like there was not even, I'm trying to remember. I feel like at the time, maybe IE6 technically had a console, but like you couldn't even really reliably log stuff to the console to debug. So it was really just throwing up like alerts and be like, oh yeah, is this working right? Throw up an alert. Oh, okay. Let me reload the page. It was all very slow and tedious, but hey, that's how we did it. This company also was super into Microsoft, which was annoying because, you know, I'd already been using Linux as my main system for many years and particularly find the Microsoft ecosystem very exciting. But hey, that's what they used. I think they gave us a computer, a laptop, you know, and it came with Visual Studio, not VS Code. This was long before VS Code. So it was just regular, you know, full Visual Studio. And we would write HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, all as separate files. There was nothing fancy, no JSX, no React, none of that. It was all very simple. We wrote plain JavaScript with jQuery. That was it. I was like, I mean, for the most part, jQuery was our only dependency. But anyway, so yeah, if you're familiar with this era of web development, this is all probably really boring. But yeah, in case you're not, I thought I would detail what it was like back then. Anyways, so at this time, I, you know, was also a full-time student, Michigan Technological University, up in Houghton, Michigan, and, you know, on the shores of Lake Superior almost. Beautiful, beautiful place. But yeah, so I was technically a full-time student, had, you know, full load, but I also worked probably 20 plus hours a week for this company because it was like, wow, man, like I'm making so much money. I was making like, you know, that's like $200 a week. that's like almost $1,000 a month. I mean, it seemed wild to me. I don't know where I came from, but that was a lot of money, right? So I worked a lot just because I wanted to make the money. And it was really fun. It was fun to like make something that people actually used. It's not that I hadn't done that before, but like, I guess what it was theoretically people were paying for it, right? So stuff I had made before was always like free open source stuff and it was fun to have people use it. But this was like, yeah, people are actually paying for it. And that was really cool. So yeah, we did this with, like I said, all vanilla JS. But like, I think this is even misleading if you're not familiar with this era, because back then JavaScript like browser APIs were nothing like they are today. Not only did they have lots of quirks you had to work through, but like so many things just didn't exist that we take for granted. You had to use all sorts of like sort of libraries like jQuery to shim things and fill things in and provide cross-browser support. And just a lot of the APIs didn't exist. It was very slow. It was incredibly slow. This was before Chrome, you know, this was like before browsers were like compiling really JavaScript. It was basically all just really slow interpreted. Yeah, totally different world. Oh, and CSS. I mean, so we had to use CSS for everything, obviously. But it was, again, nothing like today. There's no flexbox. There's not even like border radius. We would make rounded, you know, curved borders by like using tables filled with pre-generated images. And so like the corner, you know, the upper, you know, left part of the table would be one corner, the upper right would be another corner, just like images, you know, totally different world, right? But yeah, it was, and of course, like dealing with IE, which had all these weird quirks with CSS, like things would overlap and show up over top of each other and clip things when they weren't supposed to. They just didn't follow standards. That was just the way it worked. We spent, I mean, probably most of our time just trying to make things look halfway decent and work. You didn't spend near as much time developing features. But yeah, I remember one thing was we needed a calendar, like sort of widget thing so you could select, I think, I don't know, the date you wanted to ship your package or whatever, right? And we used an existing library for that. But even that was just really primitive and didn't do what we wanted to do. And I remember spending like a week, I worked way extra that week, probably like 40 hours or something on top of being a student, just trying to get this calendar to work. Anyways, whatever, that's a boring story. But like the company really cared about it. I think like always they were into these like trade shows. So it was like, oh, can you guys have this done by this trade show? And it's in 1 week. And you know, there was no good reason why we didn't tell you like 2 months ago so you could start working on it. We just thought, you know, we'd just tell you, you know, last minute like usual. But yeah, can you please have this done? It's going to make us so much money. It's, you know, and that's how it always went. But like, yeah, so it was fun. We, you know, I worked at a calendar for a week that already existed. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like my friend and I, we would just sort of hang out in the dorms a lot and, you know, just program together and complain about how terrible IE was or the CEO. So the CEO of this company owned a bunch of other companies. I think they're quite wealthy. And what they would do is just sort of go on this like 2 week circuit where they would spend like a day or two at each company. So we were working remote. This company is based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but we were, you know, up in northern Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. But every 2 weeks or so, you know, they'd have a call or whatever and have a whole bunch of new stuff for us to do. And so, yeah, we would, you know, complain about that and how ridiculous some of the things were. You know, the CEO didn't maybe understand all this web stuff that well at the time. Not that anyone really did, but yeah, it was fun though. Like as a college student, it was a good time, right? So anyways, we did actually launch this product on Salesforce. And the really funny thing was, most of the company is focused on these on-premise boxes, right? That, you know, would get installed by enterprises and stuff. I don't really know any actual numbers, but it doesn't seem like really hardly anyone used it, especially relative to the amount of resources the company is putting into it, right? But the funny part was our web app actually did quite well. Like people were like, wow, this is awesome. Like I just double click my order in Salesforce and I can print a label and we had rate shopping between the carriers and blah, blah, blah. And they really liked it. And we charged, I don't know, a monthly fee or something, which like back then was not unheard of again. It wasn't like a totally new thing, but it definitely was not the thing that everyone does like it is today, right? And so me and this other college student, we did most of the work on that aside from some of the back-end stuff that was already done. And so it was just funny because it was like, oh yeah, just a couple part-time college students. Our stuff is actually making a profit for the company and nothing else was. They didn't really seem to understand that, the company or the CEO or something. They never really invested more in it. Whatever. I don't know the details, but yeah. So anyways, I'm sure you're like, hey, where's this private jet thing that you mentioned at the beginning? So the CEO, I think, had like multiple private jets. I don't know. Yeah. They were really proud of this one that was like the first, I don't know, something fly-by-wire. They were all excited about it. Anyways, there was this one time, and I can't remember actually what we did, if it was just something for a trade show or whatever, but they were super, super happy with what me and, you know, my friend at college did. And so the CEO is like, oh, I'm going to fly you guys down in my private jet. And I think they're originally planning on flying us themselves, but something happened. And so they had their pilot fly us. Anyways, it's just so funny because like we're these broke college students. And I remember like they flew this plane up and there were no taxis or rental cars available. I don't know if it was just the time of day or, you know, just being in the middle of nowhere. So they like land the plane. They're like, well, we can't come pick you up. We have no way to pick you up. Can you get to the airport? And so like me and my friend are like running around, you know, just being like, hey, can anyone get us a ride to the airport? Like, you know, just begging somebody to give us a ride so we could get out of this private jet. It was really funny. So we did go to the airport, and I remember it was like, I don't know, a foot of snow on the ground or something, just being like, can planes like fly? Can they like land and take off in the snow? And obviously it had landed, but like, I don't know. It was funny. It was cold, it was snowy, but it was a lot of fun, I guess. I don't know. But at the time, I don't think I really realized like how rare it was. I don't know why I didn't realize this, but like hindsight, it's just so funny because I'm like, oh, I guess flying on a private jet, like that's not something everyone does all the time, you know? And I didn't have to pay anything, right? I've never done that since. But yeah, that was the situation. And yeah, I don't know, the jet ride itself wasn't actually all that eventful. It was kind of interesting, but yeah. So they flew us down to Milwaukee, and somehow the CEO had gotten invited to the christening of this new class of Navy ship, I think. It was like for destroyers or something, and there's like a shipyard near Milwaukee, right? And so they took us there. And I don't know, it all kind of was like a blur. Like we didn't really know what was going on, but they had us meet with one of the developers that wrote the software for this Navy ship. I think if I remember right, they told us that they were sort of on the team responsible for a lot of the software that didn't include any of like the weapon systems or whatever. But I just remember we were like asking them about it. Oh yeah, we wrote it all in Java, and it was like Java 1.6 or something. It was like before, like way before modern Java. It was, and so me and my friend were just like, oh wow, how did you deal with this and that, like terrible, you know, Java limitations that existed at the time. And so that was kind of interesting. Yeah, in hindsight, I don't know, maybe I could have asked better things, but like, yeah, so they flew us down to meet these people that wrote software for a ship. Go figure. Anyway, so eventually that trip ended and we flew back. And I don't know, kept working through the year. But then in the summer, they were like, oh, we want you guys to come down to Milwaukee and work in person. They're so excited. We'll be there in person. And it's really funny because I don't know the full backstory, but this was a tiny startup. I mean, like 10, 15 people, right? But they had, I don't know, it sounded like they owned, or I don't know, they leased or owned or had this entire like 4-story office building to themselves. And they only used like a quarter of the first floor. And so they're like, oh yeah, you guys can just like stay on the top floor, like live up there. I guess they had installed a bathroom and a shower so that the CEO could stay there randomly. And they're like, oh yeah, you could just use that. And so, you know, as a broke college student, of course, that's what you're going to do. My friend from college actually grew up near that area. And so I think just lived with family or whatever. But shortly before this, they hired another of our friends from college to sort of do stuff with us. And so me and this other guy stayed in the building on the top floor. And they're like, oh yeah, just, you know, keep the shades closed and just stay in the inner offices, you know, without the windows so people don't know you're like living here. And, you know, broke college student, I mean, what do? You go along with it, right? I couldn't afford to rent something, especially not on $10 an hour, you know? So yeah, it was actually pretty hilarious. Like, I remember, I don't know, over the years I had like acquired like speakers and stuff. Of course, I'd set up all these speakers in this inner office. And, you know, whenever everyone was gone for the day, I would like just crank music and ride my bicycle like around the building. I don't know. I honestly, even though I was making this money, I was trying to use this money to pay for college because I had some amount of scholarships, but mostly I had to pay for college out of pocket. My parents didn't pay for it. It was really expensive. And so I basically put everything into trying to pay for college. And so I didn't have money. I barely ever went out to eat. I, you know, basically took all this money that I earned and put it towards college. And so I would cook my own food. And so I like had some like hot plates and you know, electric griddles in my little inner office. Like I had this basically like kitchen set up there. It was pretty great, next to my air mattress and, you know, college life, right? I remember one time I was like experimenting. I love to experiment with stuff and electrical stuff. And I like would wire up motors to my bicycle and just sort of like against the rim of the bicycle. So as you like ride the bicycle forward, it would, you know, wind the motor, which I had connected to a battery. So I could like charge batteries with my bicycle, you know, long before e-bikes, right? Not before dynamos, of course. We had those, but like, anyways, yeah, it was fun. I'd ride that around the office or attach like LED lights to it, sort of make like my own little dance party while I'm riding around the office. Anyways, I had all this food that I would cook in my inner office. I don't know what I was thinking, but I remember one time, it was like the CTO or something, you know, comes to my cubicle while I'm working and they're like, hey, are you like cooking food in your room up there? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, I went in there. That thing is like a greasy spoon. You can't be doing that. Like if we have the fire department come through here to do inspections, that'll never pass. You gotta like cook in the kitchen. So that was really sad because it was amazing to sit at my computer while I'm like cooking, I don't know, whatever, some piece of food, you know, while I'm like watching something or programming or whatever, you know, all in one place. I don't know. It was cool, but yeah, wasn't allowed to do that anymore. I did still do some web development at that time, but I don't know what the deal was, if they didn't like me or something, but they like pulled me off of that project I was working on onto this like sort of writing tests or automated tests, but it didn't seem like anybody cared about the tests I wrote. They never used them. So it was an interesting experience where I basically kind of was like, okay, I could kind of do whatever I want. And so I like made my own testing framework. Yeah, honestly, that was all a huge learning experience for me, more in terms of like relating to people and how to, you know, just integrate and be in a business sort of environment. You know, in hindsight, I'm like, wow, I think I did really good work, really valuable work, but I was horrible at communicating it and just showing my value to the company. And so I don't think they understood at all. But yeah, anyways, it was a fun project. I remember the CEO, like I said, you know, had come through with like these like extra assignments, right? And I remember there was this one where they're like, oh, we want to like do something, you know, sell something, right? And they're in this like Microsoft Gold program or whatever. And they're like, oh, Microsoft just like put up this website where you, it's like a directory where you can like log into their website and look up information about these companies. And they're like, oh yeah, we want to be able to sell to all these companies, right? So they tasked me with, you know, basically scraping this directory and dumping it to like an Excel sheet, right? Well, it was really funny because they're like, oh, we need to have it done in like 3 days. And I have no idea why it needed to be done in 3 days, but that's how it always seemed to work there, right? So I made this like C# program, and I just remember it was so much fun. I'd never gotten to do anything like this. I made this C# program that ran a server on like my laptop. And basically what I discovered was Microsoft had some like detection of like bots and stuff. And so I couldn't like just download the web pages. I couldn't reverse. I couldn't figure out how to like even reverse engineer the authentication system and cookies or whatever. So I had to use this like basically, it was like a browser simulator in Java, you know, to sort of actually download and run the page and run the JavaScript. And it was pretty wild stuff at the time. This was not common. It was incredibly slow and took so much CPU resources. So I had this server that I'd run on my computer, and I built a bunch of like distributed clients, and I ran it on everybody else's computer at the company, and they'd all like talk to my server and coordinate the work to download the web pages. It sounds really ridiculous now, like such a basic thing, but I don't know. At the time, it wasn't maybe as common, and especially not, you know, nobody had done this. I didn't know what I was doing, but it was a great learning experience. It's also hilarious. Like, I don't think I slept for 3 days. And, you know, one of those things where I think that really had a big impact on me going forward in the future when it came to the way I wrote programs, because it was a nightmare. I would like get this distributed client and I'd get it running on people's computers, and you know, they would crash, like something on the web page wouldn't be how I expected, and it caused the program to crash. And I'd have to make a new build of the program and reinstall it on everyone's computer and re-download all those jobs. And, you know, people got really annoyed with me because I kept coming over to their computer and just being like, hey, yeah, can I like use your computer a little bit again? I need to like run this program again. And so that was a huge learning experience for me in terms of like, like, I think by the end of it, I had set it up so it'd send logs to my server and was much more robust in terms of error handling, and just a really great learning experience in that regard. I doubt they ever used any of this output to do anything useful, but hey, it was a good learning experience, right? Oh, yeah. And this was like, oh, it was so funny. So even though I was working on this sort of side project, I did still work on some of the main product they had. And even before this, I would work on like their server side stuff too, not just the client side. And what was really funny is at the time, they were so into Microsoft. And Microsoft, their big thing, I forget what it was called, like Team Forge or whatever, they had some source control product that they had come out with, and the CEO thought we should all use it. But it was the worst thing ever. It had this mechanism where the source lived on a central server. To be able to edit a source file, you had to be connected to the internet. And if you started editing a file, it would lock that file. Nobody else could edit it. Like, this wasn't like distributed source control or Git or whatever, where like everyone could edit it and then sync the changes. No, the way the source control system worked, if you can call it a source control system, was it just straight up locked a file. And if you like tried to like go around it and edit a file somebody else was editing, it wouldn't let, like it would just not, it would completely die. And oh, you, it couldn't merge, it couldn't do anything. So it was like, it was just horrible. So there were so many hacks we would do, like copying files and renaming them and manually merging things. And oh boy, you know, I don't know. It really taught me like just buying all into some ecosystem has so many downsides. Like, I get, you know, maybe using Microsoft stuff. If you paid, I think the company pays a lot of money to be in the Microsoft Gold program. And so they're like, oh no, we need to use all Microsoft crap. Like we're paying for it, right? But like, it was such a, you know, waste of productivity, you know? So that was another great learning experience. Like, okay, in the future, if I'm doing my own thing, like just don't lock yourself into something like that. It just doesn't pay. Just doesn't pay off. Of course, hopefully things aren't that bad anymore. But yeah, it was also an interesting experience, like I was mentioning, with just sort of learning people and learning, you know, how to deal with the work environment. And I feel like in hindsight, a lot of the people I worked with didn't really care about this job at all. And what I learned was that most of them had actually started a startup together before. And they sold that one for like hundreds of millions of dollars or something. And we would always hear stories about this, you know, hotshot programmer that worked at this company. They had this huge office. They chain smoked like all day in it. And they actually did seem like they were really good at programming. And we'd hear stories about them where back at this previous startup, the CEO would come by and be like, oh, if you can fix this bug in the next 3 hours, I'll pay you $100,000 or whatever. And this was like in the 80s, you know, this is a lot of money. And apparently this programmer always managed to do it. And so they could just do whatever they wanted. And it seemed like in this job, they didn't really want to do anything. And they already had plenty of money, this big mansion, you know. So it's just a really weird work environment. Whereas everyone like already seemed to be rich and they're like, oh, we just kind of want to be richer, but we don't really care that much. Yeah, they really didn't seem passionate. They didn't seem to care at all. But hey, that's, you know, how businesses go, I've learned, you know. It's not always ultimate level of passion about something. In fact, usually it's not. But yeah, that was an interesting learning experience. And it was, I think, you know, I remember just feeling at the time really annoyed kind of about this whole hotshot programmer thing because everyone made such a big deal out of them. But they didn't really do anything, it didn't seem like, at this company. But whenever you had problems, they would be like, oh, go talk to so-and-so, you know, this hotshot programmer, they'll solve it for you. And you'd go to them and they would just be like, didn't care at all and didn't really help you at all. I mean, sometimes they did. They weren't like a bad person or whatever, but they just didn't care, you know? But everyone thought they were like God or something. And so I would just kind of get annoyed. Like, I'm like, I can do what they're doing, right? I don't know. Maybe I couldn't. I actually don't know. But it kind of at the time seemed like, I was like, I can do what they're doing. Why are they making such a big deal out of this person, you know? So another lesson in humility maybe, but yeah, it was definitely interesting. But yeah, to be honest, that was kind of the end of the exciting stuff. The company started not doing as well. And this was my first sort of experience with that of like you could tell the ship was starting to sink. And, you know, I started working on my own projects and I eventually, you know, left them. And the funny part was, I don't know, maybe they gave me a raise. I feel like it was still $10 an hour, but I ended up taking a part-time job painting rental houses for $14 an hour. And I don't even think I realized that at the time, but like in hindsight, I was like, what was I doing this for $10 an hour? And then like after my, I think, second year there, people that, you know, they were way less experienced than I was at programming, they would get these jobs at, you know, bigger tech companies and they'd be like, oh yeah, I make like $50 an hour, or $40 an hour, or whatever. And I'm just like, what the heck? How? I had no idea. I literally had no clue. And I don't know. I never even like thought to ask anyone or do any research. I was just like, yeah, $10 an hour. This is just fantastic, you know? And then I think I got that job painting rental houses for $14 an hour. And it was like, huh, I wonder if $10 was all that great. And then I was like, well, I got to, you know, work on what I like to work on, you know? So it seemed good. In hindsight, I'm like, wow, they were really ripping me off. And especially because I would often, to, you know, accomplish whatever stuff they had, work, you know, 60, I think sometimes even 80 hours a week, and they never paid overtime or any sort of, so, yeah. And I'd say, you know, you learn things, right? But yeah, that was my first experience actually programming, you know, getting paid. I learned a ton, and you know, maybe I wasn't worth more than $10 an hour. I made a big deal about that, but hey, I'm not really judging that. It is what it is. And you know, I think, I'll be honest, I think at the time I wasn't a great employee at all. Like, I was very arrogant. You know, I think, so I, what I saw at the time was I was in college with a lot of people who, they definitely weren't very good at programming. They were a lot less experienced than me, you know? And so I sort of took that to be like, I'm really good at it or whatever. And I think I was a bit arrogant about it, you know, looking back on it in hindsight. Yeah, like just arrogant in my approach to things. And I was probably annoying to work with. I don't know. People seem to like me, but like, I imagine, you know, looking back at how I felt at the time, that I probably did not solve things in the best way. I probably didn't write the best code. I know I didn't. And it was more just because I was arrogant, you know? So, you know, it's a learning experience. And, you know, I'm glad I got to do it. It was something I'll always remember, you know, flying on the jet and, you know, all of that. It was really interesting. And I definitely learned a lot, you know, about how to actually build real applications. And I definitely applied later on. It definitely paid off. Like, the amount that I learned there was incredible. It was more because I made myself learn it and I taught myself, but like, it still was great. And to get paid to do it, even better, right? But yeah, that was that's the story of my first programming job. And well, at least one I got paid for. It definitely went up from there. You know, maybe I'll talk about some other fun times later, but I definitely got a little bit of a raise after that. So that was fun. yeah, after this, I actually, a little while after this, I dropped out of college to start my own startup. So yeah, if you're interested in hearing about how that went, I actually did launch a SaaS product that actually made me a decent amount of money. But yeah, that's a story for another day. This was a story of not making a lot of money. And but hey, you learn. Live and learn, right? Thank you once again for joining us. This episode was produced by Thomas and edited by Dougie, the podcast editor.